Good morning. It's certainly good to see everyone here this morning. As Stephen has already mentioned, if you're visiting with us, we are delighted to have you here. We would love for you to come back every opportunity that we have. I want to remind everyone that we will be meeting this evening at 6 o'clock as we will continue our study in the book of 1 Peter. And so I want to encourage everyone to be back at that time as we will be assembling again to be able to worship our great God. I appreciate Brother Don and the great job that he does leading us and our song service. This congregation is so blessed to have so many men that are talented in this area leading us in our song service. And I particularly appreciate that last song that we just sang together. What a great song. What a great attitude to have toward the Lord's work. I want to be a worker for the Lord. I want to be busy every day. That's the attitude that we need to have. That's what God desires. That's what God expects of His children. As you know, the Lord's work is important. And the Lord wants us to be busy every day. We need to sing that song, but we need to sing it with understanding, realizing what God expects of His children. As we go back to the scripture reading that Stephen read this morning from Matthew chapter 20, verses 1 through 7, we see that the kingdom of heaven is like a vineyard. God is wanting us to understand the nature of the kingdom. And as we think about the kingdom of God being a vineyard, it reminds us of the work, the toil that is to be going on in the vineyard. You will notice in that particular parable that the Lord went out three times. He went out the third hour, the sixth hour, and even toward the end of the day at the 11th hour, He still found those who were idle. And He asked the question, "Why stand ye here all day idle?" If you're a Christian, if you're a child of God, if you've been baptized into Christ, having your sins washed away by the blood of Jesus Christ, and if you're not working, if you're not busy, we can see from that parable that the Lord wants to know why. Why do you stand here all day idle? As I said in our prayer this morning, the Lord's work is the most important thing that we can be doing while we're here on this earth. And so as we think about the Lord's work, let me ask the question. And we will be thinking about this question this morning as we go through our lesson. What are we doing? If the Lord's work is that important, all of us should be asking that question. What are we doing? What are we doing in His service? If you would open your Bibles to Revelation chapter 2. Revelation 2. And I want to make an observation as we look at Revelation 2 through 3. We're not going to go through all of chapter 2 and all of chapter 3. But if you don't think this is something that we should consider, that is, the Lord's work, I want you to think about what the Lord says to the seven congregations of Asia Minor. And He begins in Revelation chapter 2, verse 2, speaking to the congregation at Ephesus. And notice what He says, "I know thy works." And then He speaks to the congregation of Smyrna, beginning in chapter 2, verse 8. But He says in verse number 9, "I know thy works." He also speaks to the congregation of Pergamos, beginning at verse 12. But listen to what He says in verse number 13. "I know thy works." I think you see the point that I'm making. The Lord knows our works. He knows what we are doing individually. He knows what we are doing collectively as a congregation. If you follow the thought process here, going through chapter 2 and chapter 3, we need to make the application congregationally. You see, the Lord knows our works here at Lake Country. He knows exactly what we're doing, again, individually and collectively. And as you read through Revelation 2 and 3, we see that that's what the Lord has on His mind. That means that the Lord's work is important, and it's something that all of us should consider. We see this going throughout the pages of the New Testament. Turn back, if you would, to Matthew chapter 9. Notice Matthew chapter 9. Here in Matthew chapter 9, the Lord talks about His work as He is preparing His apostles to carry on the work. Here in Matthew chapter 9, He encourages His apostles to do something. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 37. Consider what Jesus says here in verse number 37. He said unto His disciples, notice this, "The harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few." The Lord says something very important concerning His work. In verse number 37, He says, "The harvest is truly plenteous." What does that mean? That means that there is a lot of work to do in the kingdom of God. There is plenty of work to do. The Lord's work is always going. It never stops. We will never finish what God has for us to do. There's always something to do. That's the emphasis. The harvest is truly plenteous. But notice the second important thing from verse number 37. The Lord talks about the laborers. And what does the Lord say about the laborers? He says the laborers are few. Based upon that truth, why would we stand here all day idle? If there is that much work to do, and I believe there is, because the Lord says there is, why would we stand there all day idle? Why wouldn't we be doing something for the Lord? That's what we're examining this morning. What am I doing individually for the Lord that will help the Lord's congregation collectively here at Lake Country? There is that much work to do. You continue to read verse number 38. The Lord says in verse number 38, "Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest." We're going to come back to that point as we continue to develop this lesson. But as we read these verses, we can see that there is no time to waste. In fact, in Ephesians chapter 5, verse number 16, God's redeemed people should redeem the time. They should make use of their time. They should buy up the time. Because we know that time is a limited thing. We know that we don't have all of the time in the world. That's why Paul would say, knowing the terror of the Lord, in 2 Corinthians 5, verse number 11, we persuade men to obey the gospel. We're constantly, Paul says, we're constantly persuading people to get right with the Lord before it's everlasting too late. And that's the work that we're to be about. We're to strive to herald the gospel, to share the gospel to a lost and dying world. You know, as you search the Scriptures, one of the things that we see that God hates, that He detests, as we see from Matthew chapter 20, is laziness. Idleness. The Lord doesn't like idleness. And when we consider what He says here in Matthew chapter 9, verse 37, concerning the work that we are to do, we see why He hates laziness. There's no time to be lazy. There is that much work to do. And that should be a priority for us. in our lives. You know, as we turn back to the Old Testament, there are a lot of principles that we can learn in the Old Testament about the Lord's work. For example, when you go back to Exodus chapter 18, in Exodus chapter 18, we see that Moses' father-in-law gives him a lot of good advice. You see, when you look at the context there, in Exodus chapter 18, Moses was trying to do everything on his own, and it just wasn't possible. Moses was wearing himself out. And so his father-in-law comes along and gives Moses some great advice. And he tells Moses this, essentially, in Exodus chapter 18, verse number 20. Moses, you teach the people the law of God. You teach them how to live. And then he goes on to say, you teach them concerning the work that they are to do. You teach them what they are to do. And that's what we're emphasizing. There's plenty of work to do. That's the point that Jethro was making to Moses. Moses, you can't do it all on your own. There is a lot of work to do. You teach the people about the work. You teach them what has to be done. And collectively, as the people of God, the work of the Lord would be done. Go to another example, if you would, to the book of Nehemiah. Here in the book of Nehemiah, we actually want to read a few verses. As I said, the Old Testament is filled with so many examples that emphasize the work that we are to be doing in the kingdom of God. Well, here in the book of Nehemiah, the people of God have come out of Babylonian captivity. We see that Nehemiah was leading the people, encouraging the people to build the walls. They face certain opposition. You know, anytime we do the work of the Lord, we're going to face opposition. Nehemiah is encouraging the people to build the walls. And I want you to notice a couple verses here in Nehemiah chapter 3. Nehemiah chapter 3. Notice first of all, verse number 5. And next unto them, the Tekoites repaired, but their nobles put not their necks to the work of the Lord. We're highlighting the Tekoites. They were busy. They put their necks out in doing the work of the Lord. And as you continue to read chapter 3, I want you to highlight with me verse number 27. We see that Nehemiah again mentions the Tekoites. They repaired another piece of the wall. Again, they put their necks to the work. They completed one section of the wall, and then they completed another section of the wall. The people were working. The people were building the wall. But have you ever thought about why the people of God were able to accomplish so much? Turn to the next chapter, and we see the key principle here in Nehemiah chapter 4. In Nehemiah chapter 4, verse 6, we can see why the people of God got so much done. We don't have to speculate. We don't have to wonder why they were able to get so much done. Read Nehemiah 4, verse 6. So built we the wall, and all the wall was joined together unto half thereof. Here's why. For the people had a mind to work. Now notice the application of that. When the people of God have the mind to work, great things are going to happen in the kingdom of God. It's a reciprocal act, you see. If I'm working and if you're working, the walls will be built. Great things will be done in God's kingdom. But you know, if we're going to get involved, I can't force you. You can't force me. It's a decision that we have to make individually. We have to be the ones that decide whether or not we're going to serve the Lord. But that's what Joshua said in Joshua 24, verse 15. For as me and my house, we will serve the Lord. That's the decision that all of us must make, but that's the one that needs to be made. Like Joshua, I am going to serve the Lord all of the days of my life. But as we think about doing God's work, as I've talked to members of the body of Christ about doing the Lord's work. I have come to this conclusion. There are a lot of members in the body of Christ that want to work. They really want to work. They just don't know how to get involved. And so I want to help you this morning. I want to lay out the foundational principles, truths that will help all of us get involved. And we should never lose sight of these principles. Here's the point. If you're involved in doing God's work, guess what? You're doing these things. You're doing the things that we're about to mention in our lesson. And so if you want to get involved, but you just don't know how, this is where it starts. You begin with these points, and I promise you, you will find yourself getting involved in the Lord's work. This is where it all starts. And so as we think about this foundational principle, foundational principles in getting involved in doing God's work, it begins by spending time every day in prayer. That's how practical and fundamental these points are. If we're going to get involved, it begins every day in prayer. Did you notice the song that we just finished singing? I will sing and what? Pray and be busy every day. Again, if we're going to be busy, this is where it starts. I want you to go back to Matthew chapter 9. And I want to highlight this in Matthew chapter 9. This is a great section here because the Lord is talking about His work. Again, He is preparing His apostles to carry on with the work. He's emphasized in verse number 37 that there's a lot of work that has to be done, but the laborers are few. And so how were they to respond to that truth? The laborers are few. And so Jesus says in verse number 38, here's the solution to that problem. I want you to pray. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest. You pray to God. And I have missed this over the years. I've always noticed verse number 38. When it comes to doing the Lord's work, we need to pray. And I think sometimes we miss these things because the Bible is broken into chapters. And we sometimes lose the thought going in to the next chapter. You can actually find Bibles where the chapters are taken out and you can read it in a letter form. I would encourage you to have several Bibles and allow that to be one of your Bibles. Read through the context in a letter form, if you please, and you will see the flow of the text. Now, if the chapters weren't here, we would begin in verse number 38, pray therefore the Lord of the harvest that He will send forth laborers into His harvest. And when He had called unto Him His 12 disciples, He gave them power against unclean spirits to cast them out and to heal all manner of sickness and all manner of diseases. What's happening here in chapter 10? Their own prayers caused them to do something. Do you see that? Their own prayers caused them to go out. This is known as the limited commission. And so as we think about prayer and doing the Lord's work, how can we pray for the Lord to send laborers into the vineyard and not respond in obedience to our own prayers? Friends, our own prayers, if we're praying in faith to God, our own prayers should cause us to do something. Our own prayers should cause us to get involved in doing the Lord's work. Spend time every day in prayer. Pray about the Lord's work. Pray for opportunities. Prayer is such an important part of our Christian life. We're to pray without ceasing. 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 17. And if you would just think about some of the things that we mentioned in Bible class, that we mentioned this morning, I promise you, there's plenty of things to be praying about. We need to spend more time in prayer, praying about the work that we're doing here. It begins in prayer. And so how do I get involved in doing the Lord's work? It begins with fervent prayer. Again, those who are already involved in the work, I promise you, they're already doing this. They're praying about the Lord's work. And as you think about prayer, prayer was such an important part of our Lord's life. Rising up a great while before the day. We have a hard time doing that sometimes. I mean, we've got alarm clocks and we know how long it takes us to shave and comb our hair and to do this and that. And we've got it set where we can get up just in time to get ready to go out the door to be at work on time. Let me encourage you to get up a little earlier. Take a little bit of time out of your day and begin it with prayer. I promise you. Getting up a little bit earlier so that you can pray to God, I promise you, it will help you throughout the day. It will keep your mind on God. It will help you keep your mind on the work of the Lord, because usually it's during the day when we meet people and we're talking to people. Those are the opportunities many times we have in talking to people about the gospel, but a lot of times we fail to engage when we have those opportunities because we forget. Our minds are not focused, and prayer can help us be more focus. Number two, read and study God's Word every day. Again, that's where it begins. It begins with prayer, and it begins with studying and feasting upon God's Word every day. Listen, if we're going to get involved, I mean, if we're really going to get busy doing the Lord's work, we have to have some spiritual energy in our lives. And the only way that we're ever going to get that spiritual energy in our lives is by feeding our faith. We're to walk by faith. We're to live by faith. But we learn in Romans 10 verse 17 that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. You know why there are some Christians that really don't do very much in the kingdom of God? It's not really hard to figure out. They have no spiritual energy. Listen, if you have no spiritual energy, you're not going to be doing anything. You will be one of those individuals that we read about in Matthew chapter 20 that is standing there all day idle. If we're going to be busy, if we're going to be productive, even in the secular world, we have to eat. We have to give our body the nutrition that it needs so that we can function physically, so that we can perform physically. If we're not eating properly, if we don't have the proper diet, physically speaking, we're not going to perform very well, and our employer is going to be upset with us. But we see the same principles spiritually speaking. Matthew 4 verse 4, man doesn't live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Matthew 5 verse 6, we are to hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. In John 6 verse 27, labor not for the meat which perisheth, but for the meat which endureth unto everlasting life. Do you see the terminology that God uses throughout His Word? He uses that physical terminology, feasting upon physical things, and He relates it to the spiritual to help us understand the attitude, the spiritual appetite that we must have. Again, if we're going to get busy, we must learn to feast upon the Word of God. Again, if you don't eat, you won't perform. That is true spiritually. Here's another verse. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 7 and 8. Bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things. Paul is encouraging us to exercise ourselves spiritually speaking. Again, if we're going to get involved, if we're going to perform for God, if we're going to be about the Father's business, Luke 2 verse 49, we have to feed our faith. You increase your spiritual appetite for the Word of God. You feast upon it, and you will have the zeal, you will have the energy to do God's Word. I mentioned the book of Nehemiah. Remember Nehemiah chapter 4 verse 6? The people had a mind to work. You go to Nehemiah chapter 8, they were hungry for the Word of God. They were feasting upon the Word of God, and the Word of God gave them that spiritual energy to build the walls. I promise you, if you start praying every day, and if you start getting into the Word of God and studying and feasting upon the Word of God, increasing your spiritual appetite, I promise you, you will see results. You know, if you eat right, and if you start working out and exercising, you will see results. The same is true spiritually speaking. You pray, you feast upon the Word of God, you have the attitude of Job in Job 23, verse 12, who love God's Word more than His necessary food, you'll see results spiritually speaking. You will see yourself getting involved in the Lord's work. And you will see 1 Corinthians 15, verse 58, coming to life. We're to be abounding, you remember, in the work of the Lord. But that will never happen if we spend no time in prayer and if we're not studying God's Word, listen to me, on a daily basis. Again, if you're going to survive physically speaking, you need to eat on a daily basis. The same is true spiritually speaking. Blessed is the man that meditates upon the Word of God day and night. That is so foundational to serving God and doing God's work. Number three, if we're going to get involved, we need to attend every Bible class, every worship assembly if we are able to, because we are exercising ourselves unto godliness. Do you realize coming to class, coming to worship, being here together, opening the Word of God, it is a godly thing. And when we do godly things, we're going to be stronger and we're going to be more dedicated. In Hebrews chapter 10, 24 through 25, we see that there were Christians in the first century who were struggling with what we're talking about, and the writer says they were forsaking the assembling of themselves. Again, those who forsake the assembly, they're not going to be that involved in the Lord's work. That's why assembling ourselves together is a godly thing. It's a healthy thing to do, spiritually speaking, because we're reminded of spiritual truths. Truths that we need to hear on a daily basis that motivate us to be about the Father's business. Again, you look at those that are busy, that are active in God's kingdom. They're praying. They're studying. They're coming to class. They're coming to the worship assembly. They're challenging themselves spiritually speaking. And they're getting stronger and stronger. Because there's always room for improvement when we look at our lives spiritually speaking. And then number four, as we think about the Lord's work and as we think about getting involved, we need to, number four, express our sincere appreciation to those who are already involved. We need to hold them in high esteem. Listen to what Paul says in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. This is where this point comes from. Here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, beginning at verse number 12, Paul says, "And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you." More than likely, he's talking about the shepherds that were overseeing the flock of God who serve as examples to the flock. And the shepherds should be leading the flock in God's work. They should be setting the example. And so Paul is encouraging the congregation to know them that labor among you and are over you and admonish you. Look at verse 13. "And to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake and be at peace among yourself." Again, esteem them very, very highly. You find somebody that is active in the body of Christ. You look at what they're doing and you express your appreciation. And you follow their example, because I promise you, you can learn from them. You can learn by their example. You remember what Paul said in 1 Corinthians 11, verse 1, "Be ye followers of me, even as I am of Christ." And so express your appreciation for those who are already involved in doing the Lord's work. And I promise you, it will encourage you to get more involved because we do adapt to our environment. But if we surround ourselves with people who are idle, who aren't doing anything, again, that's going to feed over. That's going to affect our service for the Lord. We need to hold those who are busy in high esteem. And then finally, when it comes to getting involved in the Lord's work, never say no when you're asked to do something. When Brother Matt stands up here and says, I need somebody to teach Bible class, never say no when somebody asks you to do something. Do the best that you can, and I promise God will be glorified and it will help you grow spiritually speaking in the kingdom of God. Listen, every one of us in this building this morning can be useful to the master's service. The Lord can use me. The Lord can use you. And there's just so much to do in God's kingdom. There's room for everyone. Everyone needs to get involved. As we think about Christianity and the nature of Christianity, we see in Ephesians chapter 2, verse number 10, that we are created in Christ Jesus unto good works. I hope you see this morning from this lesson that God wants us to be busy. He wants us to be working. And when you consider Titus 2, verse 14, you can see why Christ went to the cross for us. You see, Jesus didn't die on the cross so that we could sit here and twiddle our thumbs in the kingdom of God. No, He died on the cross so that we would put our hands to the plow, so that we would get busy, so that we would glorify Him and honor Him in the work that He's given us to do. It's not my work. It's the Lord's work. And God wants us to be involved in doing the Lord's work. And so the question this morning is, what are you doing for the Lord? Again, some want to get involved. They just don't know how. But we laid some principles, a foundation that will help each of us to get involved. If we're already involved, these principles will continue to motivate us to do more and more for the Lord. I want to make the application though. Again, lots of good information from God's Word, but it's important for us to be serious about the work here at Lake Country, because there is so much to do. I know that we have some vision, and vision is good. We need to have vision. We need to think about the future. I know that this congregation has plans on building a building one of these days, doing something here to provide a better place to assemble. And you know, that's not a bad problem to have. When I talk to congregations who are talking about adding on or building a new building to provide a comfortable place to assemble, to encourage others to assemble. Again, that's not a bad thing to have. It's something that we have to think about. It's something that we have to prepare for. It's part of the Lord's work here. And it's something that we should constantly be striving for and talking about, because it takes a lot of planning. But again, the emphasis is very strong. Let's not just talk about it. Let's put our hands to the plow. Let's get busy. Let's make preparation. Again, when we have the mind to work from the book of Nehemiah, things will get built. Whether it's a building, whether it's lives. You see, when it comes to the Lord's work, we look out into this community. And there are so many in this community that need to hear the gospel. What are we doing to share the gospel to those within the community? There's a prison ministry that many of you are a part of. It's such a great work. It's a work that I was involved in for many years, to reach out to those who are really in a position to listen. It's great to do that kind of work. There again is so much work that needs to be done. We have talked with some within the congregation about maybe next year doing a VBS program. What a great way to reach out to those in the community. And a lot of times before we can reach out to parents, adults, it begins with their children. When parents see that, hey, here's a group of people that really care about my child, sometimes it can have an impact on them. And before you know it, you see their parents attending. Again, we need to exhaust our means in doing the Lord's work. We're fixing to have a gospel meeting with Brother Walker. And you know Brother Walker is going to do a fine, fine job in presenting the gospel. But it gives us an opportunity to invite people to hear the good news. There are mission trips. There are mission trips going on all of the time. You can go to Jamaica. You can go to Africa. Again, there is so much work to do. There are Bible classes that need to be taught. I hope you see the point that I'm making. There is plenty for all of us to do. And I hope all of us will think about the Lord's work. I hope that it will be a priority in our life. And I pray that all of us will use our skill set, the talent that God has given us, to glorify Him. And I promise you, if we will follow this New Testament pattern, great things will happen here at Lake Country. The lesson is yours. It might be this morning that you're not a Christian. We want to encourage you to make that decision to become a child of God by obeying the gospel, having your sins washed away, becoming that new creature in Christ Jesus that is fit, prepared for eternity. It might be that you are a child of God and perhaps you're struggling in your life. Maybe you need the prayers of the church. Maybe you need to repent of your sins. We pray this morning that you will decide, that you will make that determination to follow Jesus. If we can help you any way, spiritually speaking, won't you please come right now as we stand and as we sing.